Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
We're going to continue our kind of our series on Surprised by Jesus, and Jesus is full of surprises, isn't he? Now, I wanted to know if there's anybody here that maybe had a surprise engagement at Christmas. Did anybody have a surprise engagement at Christmas? Oh man, that would be fun, wouldn't it? I thought, wow, how exciting to be, asked to marry someone at Christmas time. That just, I know it's happened a lot of times, and it's kind of a neat time. Anybody have a real surprise gift that you were given at Christmas? Wow, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's a neat surprise. Anybody else, a surprise that you just received at Christmas time that just blew you away? Just, wow, so awesome. I was blessed if you got the Calvary Connection this week and were given a chance to read it. I was blessed by your praise report there and just all the things that God's doing in China. Amen. It is amazing. Amen. Emily's parents got us a present at Christmas, but they were expecting that for 9 months. So God loves to surprise us. And Christmas is about gifts and it's about surprises, isn't it? But Christmas is also a time when we really think about our relationship with God, because God's the one who gave that gift of eternal life when he brought his son into this world. And so we're going to look again at the Christmas story, and we're going to look at some more surprises, some people that were surprised by the plan of God in redemption this morning. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And we thank you, Lord, that you delight in surprising us. And you delight in giving us good and perfect gifts. Lord, they may not always be welcome gifts. They may not always be gifts that we really appreciate at the time. Maybe we think they are unwanted and unnecessary and unneeded gifts. But Lord, you say in your word that your gifts to us are good and they are perfect. And they have a perfect time in our lives. And Lord, we ask, Father, that you would continue to surprise us with your goodness. Surprise us, Lord, with all the wonderful things that you desire to do in our lives and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to read the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Now, this is going to begin before the shepherds and the manger and baby Jesus and all these other things that are happening right before us, these three wise men. It's going back 15 months before this event, the birth of Christ, takes place. We find ourselves in Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was, in those days, the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and his name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So God has already been setting the stage for the preparation of his son coming into the world. But something has to happen first. This messenger, this forerunner that's going to bring the news of repentance to the people of God and point to the Lamb of God. And so this is really where the Christmas story begins in the Gospels. Verse 8, and so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood. His lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now, this would be Gabriel's first Christmas assignment. Gabriel was really busy at Christmas time. You thought Christmas was a busy season for you? It started out busy. First, he's going to visit Zacharias. Next, he's going to visit Mary. Next, he's got to visit Joseph. So he's got a lot of errands to run, people to see, messages to give. Wouldn't it be fun to be Gabriel? Getting to announce these children that are being born, getting to announce God's message to people, getting to surprise people with glad tidings of joy and good news for all people, and getting to see the expression on their face, because sometimes these messages from God weren't received as joyful or glad tidings at all. And that's what we're going to find here. Zacharias was about to light the incense on the altar, but he wasn't greeted with great joy at all. He was greeted with surprise, shock, awe, wonder, but I don't think joy was anywhere in his emotions. But he is surprised by this angel and by the message that this angel brings. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, who will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So what response should Zacharias have had to this angelic message? As we think about it, what should have been his reply? What should have been his response to this message? This was a prayer answered that had been prayed over his entire adult lifetime, for both him and Elizabeth. They had wanted a child. They had prayed for a child. They had longed for God to open her womb to give them this blessing. And finally, the blessing's going to come. Finally, the prayer's going to be answered. But you know, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. I think Zacharias's heart became sick with sadness and grief, disappointment. Where is God? Does God hear me? Here, you know, how many of us would have the testimony of God's word saying that you and your spouse lived before the Lord blameless? Sounds like Job, doesn't it? Blameless. To have the Lord say he sees everything. You know, your friends, your neighbors might think you're pretty blameless, but the Lord sees everything, and he says they were blameless. And yet, their prayer went unanswered. Their greatest desire went unfulfilled. And they waited and they waited and they waited, and finally no longer did they wait because they were now convinced it was too late. And God brings a message to him through his messenger angel Gabriel. Guess what? Your prayer is being answered. What should his response have been? What would we expect it to be? Like, you know, wow, that's incredible. God's going to finally answer my prayers? Elizabeth's prayers? We've been praying all this time. Yes! We've finally got an answer to our prayers. We would have expected maybe that, or wow, is this amazing? You know, there was only once possibly in a lifetime that a Levite priest would have that privilege of going into the holy place to serve in the temple. It was given by lot, and it was doled out one priest at a time. So this might have been his first and only opportunity that he had to come in the temple. And what would he have thought? Wow, I wish I'd have gotten my opportunity to get in here first a lot earlier. I'd have had my prayer answered. You know, wow, great things happen in the presence of the Lord. That might have been a common response that we would have expected. Or how about this? Wow, I can't wait to get done here, get home, and get on with this miracle. And Elizabeth's got to start buying some maternity clothes, and we've got to set the nursery up at home. How are we going to do that? We got to add another nursery, another room to the house. We haven't needed it, but finally we do. Or maybe they had one, and they'd given up hope. It's like, we got to convert the work shed into a bedroom again for this new baby. That's what we would have expected. But instead, Zacharias says something dumb. Have you ever had that happen where you've been just surprised and it's just like out of your mouth comes something really dumb? For me, it's really stupid. Many times. Sometimes the worst thing is to surprise me because you don't know what you might get surprised back from a response. And you know, I'm sure Zacharias had wished that he would have said something a lot smarter, a lot wiser. And he had 9 months to think about what would have been a better response than what he gave. So let's go on in our story, verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? Or, you've got to be kidding me. Or, I don't believe a word you're saying. For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." I like the way he says that. I'm old, but my wife, she's just well advanced in years. He's tactful. I told you he's blameless before the Lord. He even knows what to say. Wow. And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." So Gabriel is surprised by Zacharias' reply. "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. So he would stay maybe a week or two. That was his term of service, once a year at the temple when that position came up for him. And then during his rotation, he was allowed to go into the temple and actually offer the incense. And so he finished his term and then he went home, obviously to tell his wife. But he asks the angel, "How shall I know this?" More or less, give me a sign. I want I want proof that what you say is true. I want a sign. And the angel says, okay, I'll give you a sign. You're going to be speechless for 9 months. That's your sign. What surprises me, though, in the Christmas story, and it begins right here at the beginning, is that here God is unfolding his plan of redemption in the way that he has had it prophesied for centuries. So now it's like it's all going to start happening rapidly in a period of months. And God is coming to the climax event in all of human history over not just centuries or decades, but millennium of years, and he uses imperfect people. Isn't that surprising? Isn't that encouraging? Wow. So God has his plan, and it's like, I'm going to accomplish my plan, and I'm going to accomplish it through imperfect people. To people that are not going to respond the way they should respond, the way he may even want us to respond. They're not going to act the way he would want us to act. But he says, that doesn't matter. I'm accomplishing my plan. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. You choose. For Zacharias, it was the hard way. For Mary, it was the easy way. But the point is that God wants to accomplish his plan of redemption in the world, and he uses imperfect people to do it. And that encourages me. Because God still is accomplishing and fulfilling his plan of redemption in our world today. And he's still using imperfect people to do it. So you might be here today and you might say, you know what? I haven't got it all together yet. My life isn't good enough. I don't know enough about the Bible. I can't do that for God yet, whatever that is. I can't go there. I can't say that. I can't do this. We continually want perfection in our lives. We're all like little Maria today. We all feel like, well, I have to do everything perfect. What if I make a mistake? Do we care if Maria made a mistake? Not in the least. Brought me back to my memories as a little boy having to go to piano recitals that I had to perform in. I made mistakes in all of my recitals. That's a given. She did pretty darn good. I didn't even notice mistake in hers. It was amazing. Actually, I was expecting she would make a mistake. And she did so good. But you know what? The fear was, what if I don't do it right? What if I mess up? God doesn't care if we mess up. All he wants is that we get up and play our violin, that we get up and do what he's called us to do, that we'd step out and believe and trust him to help us and to take our feeble offering, our feeble, mistakes even, and work them into his plan of redemption. So if you're waiting to get better, smarter, more talented, you're waiting needlessly for God to use you. And the Christmas story is filled with people, blunders. We could say blunders. People that made a lot of mistakes. Here is an interesting thing, too. The angel knows. You notice the angel doesn't try to offer proof to him. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. You know what? Here's what God told me, and I'm going to tell you. I can assure you, and I'm going to... Da-da. He doesn't even address the doubt in his heart. He knows if you can't believe me standing right in front of you, speaking to you, an angel, an archangel, no less. There's only three that we know of, Lucifer, who fell, Michael, and Gabriel. So we're talking like top dog angel here. If you can't believe me, there's nothing I can say to remove the doubt in your heart. I can't argue with you here. I can't kind of help you to believe better. If you have doubt in your heart, there's nothing I'm going to say that's going to change that. There's no miracle that I can present that's going to convince you. If you can't believe the miracle of me standing right here in your presence with this message, I can't offer you something else to convince you. You're just going to have to what? Wait. You're going to have to wait and see. And perhaps you're here today waiting for your miracle. Just waiting. Waiting. Or you may not be waiting so silently like Zacharias. He had to wait silently. We wait and we often make the mistake of saying things we shouldn't say and regret saying during that waiting process. But nonetheless, waiting was what took place. And the thing that is amazing to me was it wasn't like anything could hasten the fulfillment of the word and the promise and the plan of God. It was going to take Elizabeth getting pregnant and 9 months for that baby to develop until he came into the world. So there's nothing that anybody could do to make it happen faster. So he just had to wait. And it may be you're waiting for your miracle, and you're saying, why, how long? And there's nothing anyone can do to make it happen faster because it has to develop. It takes time for God to develop and grow that miracle until it's ready to come into our world. And so our key point here is sometimes God's miracles require time to develop while we helplessly wait for them. Are you waiting for a miracle today? It may be that God is developing you to receive the miracle. It may be God's developing that miracle apart from you, and it's not ready to bring to you yet. It takes faith to wait on the Lord. It takes faith. Contrast Zacharias to Mary, whom we studied last week. Wow, what a difference. Mary says the same angel, Gabriel, met her with a very similar, miracle. Actually, a more astounding miracle if you look at it. I mean, it's a miraculous birth nonetheless, but it's an immaculate birth and conception. And so it's like, this is even a more astounding message that Mary gets, and she replies to the angel, and the angel says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So we see from the angel, who obviously has an ability to see within the human heart, he gives the testimony that Zacharias had doubt in his heart and unbelief, and he also testifies that Mary had faith in her heart. She actually believed the promise. Wow. So Mary believed the message from Gabriel. All she asks is, how are you going to do this? Not prove it to me, but how on earth is that going to happen? I'm still asking that question. How on earth did God perform the Immaculate Conception? That's way beyond me. But here is what happens is, when we wait on the Lord, we literally give God permission to work in our lives. So if you're waiting on the Lord, you're actually saying, God, I give you permission to work and I'll just wait. You work, I'll wait. Are you waiting right now for God to work? You're literally in our waiting. When we wait in faith, we're giving God permission just to work. Lord, I'm just waiting on you. Oftentimes, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing Zacharias could do. He had his small little part to play. But it was God that had to perform the miracle. So sometimes we have our small little part to play, but it's God that has to do that miracle. And we say, Lord, we'll wait. You got to work. We have to wait. You have to work. But here's the thing. If we're willing to wait in faith, it releases the joy in waiting. Zacharias has no joy in his waiting period, and he cannot release any joy during the waiting. And it's a joy when we can really trust and believe that God's going to perform his word and fulfill his promise to us. It's a joy that literally bubbles over in a song of praise from a heart of gratitude that is sung to God. That's what happens when we wait on the Lord in faith, believing in him. And there's no song from the lips of Zacharias for 9 months. Wow. You see, doubt and unbelief in God's promise literally causes us to miss out on the joy during the journey on the process to the fulfillment of God's miracle. So when we have doubt and unbelief in God's promise to us, then we miss out on joy through that journey, and that journey is the process to the miracle. And look at how many songs we could have sung. Mary was singing songs of praise to God way back at the very moment that the announcement came. We sang that song last week as we closed the service, you might remember. We still have that song recorded for us. There's not a song on Zacharias' lips for 9 months. Key point, Zacharias witnessed a miracle but was unable to tell about it or to sing about it. So here he witnessed a miracle. It's like for you golfers out there, you get the hole in one and nobody's there to witness it. It's like the fish that got away. That's horrible. You witness a miracle, you can't even tell anybody about it. And he can't sing about it until the moment, the literal moment that he agrees with God. That's what's profound in the story. If you skip up into verse 62 through 64, it says, so they made signs to his father, that's Zacharias, what he would have him called. And he answered with a writing tablet and wrote. So he's had to write all this time on a whiteboard, you know, and write his messages to people. And he says, his name is John. And so they all marveled, and immediately his mouth is open and his tongue loose, and he spoke, and what does he do? Immediately, first thing, he praises God. That's the first thing that comes out of his mouth. He's like 9 months been like a Coke bottle shaken up. For 9 months, he's ready. He wants to, because now he's had 9 months to figure out, this is what I should have said in the presence of the angel way back in the temple. 9 months to think about, oh, gosh, I really wish I hadn't have said that. And sometimes our theology can cause us to miss out on miracles. It can cause us to miss out. And it can cause us to miss out on the joy of the blessings that God wants to bring into your life and my life. Because we don't believe he can do it, or that he will do it, or that he could do it again for us. And so then we miss on all the joy. So the key point here is, when God speaks to you, just say yes and trust him to handle the details. You want to do a miracle that I've lost hope in? Okay, Lord, you're going to have to make that one happen. Yeah, how many of you have been there where you said, you know what? God's told me this is going to happen. I don't know how. I've given up hope. But I can give it to you, Lord, and say, okay, I'll wait and trust. Yeah. That's waiting while he's working. Waiting while he's working. And of course, we know, there's a lot more to the Christmas story, isn't there, than this event that happened with John the Baptist and his miraculous birth. There's shepherds in Bethlehem. There's a little baby Jesus in the stable and the manger. There's angels singing and praising God, and there's wise men from the east traveling and following the star. And don't forget Anna and Simeon that are there in the temple when Jesus is dedicated to the Lord. And we're told something about Mary. What's happening to Mary during this time when all these events are taking place in the Christmas story? It says in Luke 2:19, but Mary pondered all these things, or rather, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And often that's the very best thing to do, is just ponder and keep things in our hearts. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, Lord, how you're going to make this work. I don't know how you're going to fulfill this promise that I feel you gave to me. But I'm just going to believe and wait and ponder the events that are taking place all around me. And I'll just watch you work. I'll just trust in the Lord. I don't know what to say. I'll just wait for your promise to be fulfilled. But we don't like to wait, do we? That's not natural for us. Waiting requires things. It requires that we may have to take the back seat when somebody else is behind the wheel and they're in control and they're driving and we're in the back seat. But we want to get behind the wheel. We want to drive. We want to get our driver's license. We want to move on. We've got places to go, things to do, people to see. But we've got to wait. We've got to be in that back seat waiting while somebody else is driving. That's tough. Or being inconvenienced so that another person can move forward, so that another person can be blessed at your expense. That's hard. That's hard. But those are the things that challenge us when we are waiting. It's being willing to serve even when we feel unappreciated, we're unseen, we're unnoticed. We feel like we're just invisible. Nobody even sees what we do, and we've still got to serve. That's when we're in that process of waiting, and it's really, really hard. Waiting for God to work, waiting for God to do whatever it is He's going to do. And waiting requires that we overlook the faults of others, because while we're waiting, we're looking at other people going, they don't deserve to be blessed by God. They didn't deserve to get that prayer answered. They didn't deserve. And we can list all their faults, and we have a whole proof list of why they didn't deserve their miracle or whatever God did for them, but we did. We've got to overlook their faults and say, God, I don't even understand that. While we're waiting, that's hard. It requires patience, and it requires a willingness to listen, particularly to the Spirit of the Lord as He's speaking to us inside. And it says yes. Waiting says yes to the things that need to be done when we wait joyfully in faith, even when we want to say no. Wow. True waiting says yes, even when we want to say no to God, to others, whatever. That's waiting as God would be pleased. And the truth be known, look, it's difficult to say yes to God. It's painful to say yes to God. It really hurts at times to say yes to God. And it can be confusing. But how many of us really thought that being a Christian was going to be so easy, that it wasn't going to have pain in the process or difficulties, that all of a sudden we're a Christian and everything in life is going to be smooth. I'm not going to get hurt anymore. I'm not going to go through bad things anymore. Nothing bad's going to happen to me anymore because I'm God's child. No, the promise is I'll never leave you nor forsake you, even when the bad things happen, even when the hurts happen. We're going to explore that a little more in next week's message, as a matter of fact. So the key point here is a faith that believes God will often come at a high price. A high price. But God uses faith and trust in your life and in my life in order to make us more like His Son, Jesus Christ. So what was the surprise here in this Christmas story? The surprise here is Zacharias gets given a message of the way his prayer is going to get answered from an angel visitation, and he doesn't believe it. I mean, it's one thing for God to give you kind of a word in the scripture, or somebody comes and says, I got a word from the Lord for you, and it's like, well, I don't know whether I can really. But this is a message from an angel visitation, and he doesn't believe it. Wow, that's a surprise. What's the gift? The gift is the journey of faith that would take 9 months for Zacharias and Elizabeth and the people of God that will result in a baby boy that would be named John the Baptist. And I find it interesting that the Christmas story, as you look at it, really begins with two miraculous births, John and, of course, Jesus. Two impossible pregnancies. So God says, I'm going to begin my plan of redemption. I'm going to begin that story of good news. And I'm going to be bringing that as it's conceived and formed and developed in the womb of a woman. And I thought about that. I thought, I want my life and my heart to be a womb that God can use to birth His plan, to birth Jesus, to birth good things into the world around me. That God could use my life like a womb that would be developed and allow the things of God to come forth to bring redemption, to bring life to others. I want a heart like Mary. I want a heart like Elizabeth that sings and waits and trusts God to develop that fulfillment of the promise that He has. And you know, God's still looking for Marys. He's still looking for Elizabeths. He's looking for those that might trust Him and believe Him and allow Him to work something and birth something in them to bring forth into the world. Instead of saying, wait a minute, God, how are you going to do that? You can't possibly make that happen. It's too late. I'm too old. It's too late. I wasn't given enough talent. It's too late. I don't have the education. It's too late. No. God's looking for Marys that say, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I can rejoice as I wait for you to perform it. Amen. Isaiah said it. Remember Isaiah when he was in the presence of the Lord? He says, here I am. Send me. Let's pray. Oh Lord, as we ponder this Christmas gospel message, Lord, and the gifts that you surprise us with, Lord, there are some here that are waiting and they've waited and they've waited, and some maybe who have given up hope. Lord, I pray that you might encourage us, Lord, never to give up on you. And Lord, that you would continue your working and weaving and developing and growing as we wait on you, as we trust you. Lord, that we might wait with the heart of Mary that can sing during the process. Lord, that we would not be speechless or silent when the song of joy is stirring in our hearts. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.